recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Welcome in, everybody, to a ad-free shows special, a live Q&A with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Gerald Briscoe. I'm your host, Cassio. How are you, Mr. Briscoe?
Oh, man, I couldn't be better. It's been a great sunny day down here in Keystone, Florida. All the spring breakers are down here, so it's crazy in Central Florida.
Spring breakers down there?
Yeah.
Do you just try to stay in the house when spring break is there?
Oh, yeah. And I do my fishing off my dock here, you know, so I don't go over on the beach side with all those crazy people over there. I used to like to do that, you know, back when I first came to Florida. I was right out of Oklahoma State University. That's the reason I wanted to come to Florida. I came down here when my brother Jack was already here. I was finishing up my year in college, so I came down here during spring break, and holy cow, I never seen anything like this in my life. They don't have that in Oklahoma, you know. So, so down, I had packed up the old truck and headed down to Tampa, like the Beverly Hillbillies.
What do you fish for off the dock?
I got good-sized bass out there. My son, Wes, he embarrasses me. Every time he comes over, Dad, I'll show you how to fish. And he'll pull out the biggest damn bass I've been feeding for 3 months, you know. But we're catch and release. He'll put them back in the water and let me try to catch them.
Let you have a shot at him. That's good. Yeah. Nice of him to take it easy on you like that. All right.
But he does brag a lot about beating me.
Sure. You got to get that in.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to everyone. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And we're going to get to as many questions as we can with Mr. Briscoe this evening. First up, let's go a little Brad Stanton. Brad, you're first up. You're in the spotlight with Mr. Gerald Briscoe.
Man, it is good to have you back here, Mr. Briscoe. We miss you.
Well, Stan, you came by that bud. I'm sorry. What is it? Brad, right?
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you. Those are classic t-shirts there. Man, it's good to be back on here. I've missed you guys. But remember we did a few of those breakfast shows, and that was so much fun there. But
yeah, I would block out 9 to 10 at work and just say, you know what, I got something I got to do. And everybody kind of went with it. It was fine. But, yeah we miss you. We need you back.
Well, we're willing to come back, man, to talk to the people to be.
Yeah, I might know
somebody. Tell that old Bruce Pritchard. He's afraid of me to come on back, bring me on back.
Hey, I know you're a big NXT guy. I just wonder what you thought of the two groups, Metaphor and then the No Quarter Catch Crew. Who do you like them, and who's your favorite out of each of them?
I like them, and I'm not going to name a favorite because I see those kids, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get heat with any of them. But you know, in NXT, I mean, it's really, really those kids over there under the leadership of Matt Bloom and Shawn Michaels over there. Wow, those kids are developing every week. It's good to see that.
Yeah, that Charlie Dempsey, Noam Dar match was really something last week.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad you're watching. I know you're a big Creed Brothers fan. So anybody coming up that we should know about?
I don't really know. I just see the talent laying there, you know, and I don't know if you guys are watching any college wrestling this past weekend at all the conference championships. So there we go. Brian, you're watching. But well, I was watching all the conference championships. Man, there's some studs out there. That kid from Iowa State, that Cuban kid, Batista, I'm saying it wrong, Basta or something like that. He's a living stud. And that Penn State kid, that Kirk Cleef or whatever his kid his name is, man, he's a stud. There's some great amateur wrestlers out there. And I just hope somebody filling my shoes and out there looking at these guys, you know.
Well, anyway, thanks for answering my question. It's good to have you back here. Couldn't wait to see you tonight. Have a good rest of your night.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Thanks, Brad. While we're talking about NXT, what's your thoughts on them starting to take some of the main roster guys and gals and sending them down? Do you think that's great, good for the brand?
Well, I think it is, and here's why I think it is. These guys have been on the road. These guys and ladies have been on the road. So that's really one of the most important things that these young guys and girls got to know how to live on the road. that eats so many of our young talent up because they just don't know how to act and you know, get the things for the rest that they need before they perform that night. And having these veterans there, not only can they teach them more skills and refine their skills in the ring for television quality, because working on television is quite a bit different than working in those house show arenas. I know they do TV, but not all of them get to do TV. And then, like I said, the experience of living on the road, just how to make a road trip in the proper way is so important to these young men and women.
All right, let's keep it going. Mr. Hickson, John Hickson, you are in the spotlight.
We're looking relaxed there, too. All right.
Yeah. How are you doing, Mr. Briscoe?
Hey, I'm relaxed, too, man. I'm doing good.
Hey, you brought it up. We are a week from away on Thursday at the NCAA Wrestling Championship, the real championship that goes on during March, of March Madness. It brings me up if it's your old boy, AJ Ferrari. Now, I think you told us in one of your Breakfast for Briscoes that you guys had signed him to an NIL, or WWE signed him to an NIL, with all of the controversy and with the incident in Oklahoma State. Now he's up in Iowa. Do you know what's going to go on with AJ?
All I know is that NIL, as far as I heard, was dropped, you know, when the allegations first came out. So AJ has some maturing to do, and I hope he does, because I think if he, you know, he missed this, what is it, 3 years now he's missed now?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And if he misses another year, man, that at that level, at that competition level that these kids are in, and that D1 national picture there, you're losing that much experience. Plus, you're getting older. I know, you know, the streak, between an 18-year-old freshman and a 24-year-old, he'll be 27, 28 years old by the time he gets in there. And, I mean, I you know, my last conversation with him, you know, even though he had signed that NIL from WWE, he has that UFC dream. So, you know, that's where I looked for him to end up. And then I'd love to have him on our side, but who knows, you know, the girls have done both. So maybe AJ will be that prototype that can be in the ring, beating some people's ass at UFC, and then entertaining the hell out of us over WrestleMania.
Well, he's definitely, like you said, he's definitely a character. And, what do you, how do you feel about Dayton Fix this year? Is this going to be the year that he does it, or is he just going to be the guy who is always runner up? Can't win that last
match. The greatest that never was, right?
Yeah. I'm rooting for Dayton. Oh. I've been a big fan of his. It's been sad that he's been runner up. And in hell, last year he came in fourth place. He just can't win that championship match.
Go figure. I mean, and 133, this might sound crazy to people who don't know amateur wrestling, but 133 pounds is the toughest damn weight class they got going this year. That kid out at Cornell, that kid at Lehigh, that freshman at Lehigh. I can't remember his name, but, man, he's beat Aruya. Is that his name, from Cornell, the defending national champion that made mincemeat of Dayton last year? I think Dayton has that maturity, and once again, we're going into that man streak we was talking about earlier, that he's a 26-year-old senior, you know, and going to get – and these guys have red shirt years, too, so it's not like they're 17, 18 years old. They're mature men, too, but Dayton has all that experience. Like you said, man, if he don't get it this year, he'll go down probably as a bust with a record that, you know, probably never be broken, because there ain't gonna be no 5-year deals anymore.
Right. Yeah, I think with COVID kind of has run rampant and wrecked most of these where these guys have gotten this extension. But Mr. Briscoe, thank you so much for your time. I always love talking amateur wrestling with you, and I really do enjoy everything that you do.
You too, my pal. Thanks a lot.
John, appreciate it, brother. Always good to see you. Let's see. We got now Coach Rosie.
Coach.
Joining us from the cruise.
Hey, you say you sent me a text message and you're going to say, what do you mean late? You're on out on that West Coast, man. It ain't late out there.
No, it's only 6. I see your yacht right here, Mr. Briscoe. I saw the fishing boat with the helicopter right on the front. I thought you were in town, but I guess you're still in Florida. But
I'll lease it out for the week. I'll lease it out for spring break.
You probably made a pretty penny because my wife is a victim of spring break today at Senior Frog. She's passed out on the bed over there. So I'm happy to be able to.
How are your kids doing? I mean, the athletic, are we still rolling? Or are you out? You're on spring break, right?
Yeah, we had a hell of a season, and we lost in the Elite Eight, but both of our seniors got full rides, so it was a very successful season. Great, thank you for asking.
Okay.
I actually have two questions for you. One is about Mark Coleman. I only really knew him as an MMA fighter and a UFC champion. He got into he did a very heroic thing today with his family and his dog. But I never knew that he was a great collegiate wrestler. I assume that he probably was. But can you tell me a little bit about his history as a collegiate wrestler at Ohio State?
Well, I certainly can. I mean, and all you got to do is tune in to Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle feared Mark Coleman. Kurt told me that person. I said, Kurt, was there any guy out there that you were definitely afraid of? And he said, Mark Coleman. He said, Mark was the toughest, meanest SOB ever stepped on the mat with. A guy that would torture you every time he went out there. So, yeah, Mark was a fantastic amateur. Him and Kurt, it came down to him and Kurt for the Olympic team.
Wow, I didn't know that either.
Him, Kurt, and Kerry McCoy, those three right there. That was the triangle, man, that those guys had to go through. What a competitive threesome that was, too.
And before I forget on my second question, I hung out with Taylor a couple of weeks ago in Phoenix, Arizona. He had a comedy show, and we were talking about The Breakfast, too, and how much we missed hanging out with you. I brought my wife and my son. You remember my son, Ethan? You gave him that
Is he where, a New Mexico state or somewhere like that? Where?
Close, northern Arizona. But he was he changed his major. He's doing really well, and he was thinking about not going to college, but you know, your words and a couple others motivated him. So thank you for that.
You're keeping motivated, man. I'll help any way I can. Coach, always a pleasure, man. Always a great to talk to somebody that reaches out to these young kids in high school. It's the toughest job there is out there. And thank you very, very much.
I appreciate it. And we'll see each other because I'm coming to Waterloo.
All right, great. You're better.
I sure will. I'll see you there, my friend.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Thanks, Coach. We're definitely going to get some Waterloo shout-outs before we get out of here.
Great.
But let's keep it rolling. I want to make sure I get everybody's question in. Little Jimmy Sorensen, you are up next, brother.
How's it going, everybody? Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
There you go, Jimmy. Lee, you look like you're in a witness protection program there. That's dark. You look like some of JR's podcasts.
I just took the picture.
There's some handsome guys there.
when I had hair. But just wanted to say thank you for everything. It wasn't really a question, more or less. Just thanks for everything you've done for us, just reaching, letting us interact with you on Twitter and everything. And like I said, a lot of people are probably going to mention Waterloo, and I'm going to try to go to Waterloo. Got a new job recently, but just thank you for everything.
Well, thank you. And I certainly hope to see everybody in Waterloo. We'll get into that a little bit later on. I don't want to take away from the questions here, but Waterloo is a great place. Hope to see you out there. And, man, thank you guys. You know, you guys are thanking me for following you. So thank you for following me. You know, it's so much fun. You know, it's such a big world out there. And when I see you guys identified with the ad-free shows, I know you're good people, so I try to jump on there. You know, I didn't hit everybody. But everybody that reaches out to me, I try to get back to them from you guys. And it's so good to have a friendly voice in there instead of all those those warriors out there trying to knock you down and everything.
Right.
So I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot.
You're a class act like R-Truth. R-Truth is. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Pleasure.
Appreciate you, brother. Let's keep it going. James, you are up next, brother. You're on mute.
What happened to James? That sounded like me.
Oh, hey, let me try that again. Hey, Mr. Briscoe, man, great to see you. Saw you a couple weeks ago in Coco at the ALW show.
Yeah.
Hey, got my Hall of Fame pin. You know what that means, Waterloo. I'll shout out that at the very beginning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. And Breakfast with Briscoe, you know, if you're listening, Billionaire Connie, bring it back, man. We all miss that. So, you know, sorry to take up the time. Cassio, thanks for getting me
you're
in.
Good, brother.
Well, thanks for all the plugs, man. And, you know, that was so much fun. The only thing, you know, why I lost my daughter, Billionaire Connie wouldn't provide me with breakfast. And so I bitch right. about it too much. And,
You know what I think it is? It's the delivery fees were just so expensive. You know, like those are the ones that drove it out.
Well, maybe we can work that out next time.
Darn right. I'll say it that way.
We'll include that. Who's the attorney? I know there's an attorney. We'll get him to negotiate.
Dawkins.
Dawkins, the gimmick attorney. There. So we'll get him to put that in my contract. It's got to be breakfast delivery. We're doing breakfast.
Can you imagine being a gimmick attorney with wrestling people? I mean, my goodness, man. The money just, it's like a waterfall.
And how much
money.
Fun has that got to be, too, you know?
A lot of fun, I bet. But no, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. My question is, you know, I was originally from the 806 area code, you know, the Amarillo area. Right. And, you know, of course, the Funks are like legends here, right. You know, Terry especially. So,
they are legends, not like legends.
Why? Correct. So, I guess it's like a two-parter. You don't have to answer both. Do you have a story about being in Amarillo, or is there a story about Terry that like nobody really knows that you can just kind of share with us?
Well, I got both on the, you know, and first of all, Amarillo, I'm sure you've seen that wall mural of Terry.
Oh, Funk. I actually have a picture with it. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. God, I can't wait to get out there. Somebody called me and said they were going to bring me out for an autograph show or something like that. And I said, you're kidding, I get to go to Amarillo, Texas. Only reason I want to go is not because I love Amarillo, Texas, but I want to do the same thing you did.
It's really good. I'm not going to lie, sir.
That's how big of a fan I am of Terry Funk. You know, I want a picture of that mural.
It is a really good painting.
And willing to go all the way to Amarillo, Texas to get the damn thing. So, but yeah, the first time I'm there, you know, I'm working and I think, you know, they're getting me ready to get Jack ready for Dory, who was still the champion there. So, of course, I'm there. So I go out. Well, I'm a heel there, of course. So I go out from Oklahoma, of course. So I go out to a bar with Dirty Dick Murdoch. And I tell you, that's the biggest experience I've ever had. I was still young in the business, and Murdoch had a couple of years on me. And the guys would come up, you know, he was a big heel there, too. Guys would come up and actually want to fight us and everything. And I saw Dickie punch out two cowboys, man. And those bars in Amarillo, West Texas, the entire portion of Texas, West Texas. Man, if you want to go get down, that's the place to go.
Amen. Ben, do you have any...
Story about Terry. I'll share one with you. You know, as Terry, when Terry was at home, everybody knows, you know, I'd call him and he'd call me. And WWE brings me downtown. They send the car out here where I live out here to take me because they know I won't drive down to take me downtown Tampa. And they're doing a video on Terry Funk. And I'm doing it, cutting my promo on Terry Funk, and I feel my phone vibrating in my pocket. And so I take it out, and it's Terry Funk calling me. as I'm doing it, Terry, and I show the producer. I said, Terry, do you want to take this thing and be fantastic? He said, of course I do. So we got Terry on there, and Terry thought I was lying about being, you know, doing a TV show about it there and everything. And so he's cussed. I got him on speakerphone. I said, Terry, seriously, you know, I ran show the language he was using funny. I said, Terry, I'll call you back. But yeah, we had there towards the end, we were exchanging calls, every other week or so. My heart goes out to the Funk family. But another one, he called me, I'm Native American. That one flew over the cuckoo's nest, He called me, Briscoe, I'm out here in a crazy house out here. Why don't you get a van? We'll make a run to Mexico like that Indian did for Jack Nicholson out there. I said, Terry, that sounds good. So, this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And finally, he said, we got to stop this. And he said, I got people out there waiting for you to pick them up, man. So he was still crazy even in his last few weeks and months, man.
Well, hey, I appreciate that. Thank you for the time, Cassio. Great host as always. Good to see you, brother. Mr. Briscoe, hey, I'm from Texas, go Pokes to you, but we both have a common enemy. whatever. Our common enemy is the Sooners, man. Fuck them.
Yeah, the good old JR. We're good-hearted rib and JR. Do you guys get to rib JR about that? Because he's too serious sometimes about that.
Right, good man, terrible team. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But Mr. Briscoe, appreciate it. Hey, here comes Bullet with the next question. So
thank you. Guys, thank have you a good very night. Much.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it, brother. Always good to see you, man. Brian Haremza, you are in the spotlight, brother.
Thank you, Cass. Yeah. Thank you, Cassio. Thanks for doing this, Mr. Briscoe. I'll echo everybody else. I miss having you on the platform. I always loved doing the breakfast with Briscoes when we were having them. I always kind of like John. I always like talking amateur wrestling with you, so I'll stick with that. I know he kind of asked about who you saw as potential for WWE, but who are some people that you are looking forward to seeing compete at the NCAA tournament here next weekend?
Oh man, it just so many of these weight classes are loaded this time, and you look across that amateur wrestling, and it's just loaded with superstars. Penn State, I love. Man, I'm going brain dead here too. The 97 pounder, the 3-time national champion there.
Are you talking Aaron Brooks?
Brooks. Yeah. Man, I love him. I love his story. His dad is a tremendous guy. The hardworking family, and that's what's great about our sport. Our wrestlers, a lot of them didn't grow up with a silver spoon in their mouth. They come from hard scrabble homes and lifestyles and everything, and to see them succeed and knowing the success that they're going to have down the road is just heartwarming. And I love their heavyweight, that Kirk Creek. He just I wish I was out on the road now and had an opportunity to really put the hard sell on him. That's what I love doing, is just telling the people, the kids out there, the assets of being a WWE superstar, and the big change that they got to make there. But, the heavyweights there, and then, all the way down to the little guys down there, Dayton Fitch, we talked about Dayton. There's so many others out there, and right now my mind just going. But the big guys are still going to be the big teams, the Penn States, the Iowa, the Oklahoma States. And now it's so great to see Iowa State back. I'm a Cowboy, and I love amateur wrestling, as you know, and being in a big eight when I was there, but Big 12 conference. To have OU sucking like they suck, and then have Iowa State, for years suck like they suck, and now the Big 12 conference was suffering because of that. Now we got Iowa State back up on top, and now we got OU with a new coach there, and a coach is going to do tremendous work there. He just recruited Mark Henry right out from under me, and I don't lose many guys, but not Mark Henry, but Jacob Henry, my Mark's son there. And he, what a stud that young man is, and I wish the best for him too, even though he's going to be a Sooner. Okay, I'll cheer for you every match you have except for one. And I'll be alone with that Cowboy day. And Mark knows that. But so what I'm saying, OU and Iowa State are both getting back on top here, and that's what the sport needs. We need all those traditional powers to stay traditional. A shout out to NC State, my former Cowboy, Pat Papalizio, coaching out there, built that NC State program into a conference, like the three-time conference titles out in the ACC. And then down in Little Rock, Arkansas, of all places, they got a kid now there that's ranked in the top 10 in the country. So, you know, another Cowboys building a program down in Little Rock there. So, you know, they're everywhere, man. But get out and support amateur wrestling, not only on the college level, but these high school tournaments are just wrapping up and everything. If there's any left in your state, get out and enjoy these high school wrestling kids too.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I would say where I live in Nebraska, we deal with Penn State all the time. Yeah. So it's constantly seeing them in Big Ten play in for Big Ten duels is tough. And
that's what you get for jumping out of the Big 12, man.
Exactly. You go from that to
how about your room, Coach Rule up there? Is he getting the job done, you think?
He's getting some good recruits in. So I'm right. intrigued to see how the season goes for him.
Did he have a good recruit?
He flipped like one of the top five quarterbacks to come to Nebraska from Georgia. So that was the big thing. And since he's come, there's been more recruits coming in now.
Great. Well, good. Good luck to you. Always love the Cornhuskers.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great to see him trying to get back up to what they were. Sure. But as I said, I always love talking amateur wrestling with you. I coach myself, so it's a great joy to get to talk to you about it.
Thank you, too, just like Coach Rose up there. You guys sacrifice so much of your time and energy to these kids for very little rewards there. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, too.
Thank you again, and thank you for having me on, Cassie. I appreciate it.
Brian, who are you looking forward to watching?
We've got a kid, 149 Ridge Lovett. He's coming off an injury and had a real good run. He's got one loss on the year, had a great Big Ten tournament. So he's one that I'm looking forward to watching.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Briscoe, tell everybody that is not fans, maybe a fringe fan of amateur wrestling, what makes Penn State get so good? They seem stacked every time. Even a fringe fan looks over there to the through the rankings and who's in the finals. Are they just a traditional power? Is it coaching? Is it where are they bringing the recruits in? What makes them so good? It seems like every year.
Well, it's coaching. I mean, you get right down to it. I mean, you can have great recruits, but if you can't get that philosophy over to them and make them buy in, I mean, it's like anything else, then you're wasting your time. But he recruits guys that he knows that are adaptable to his style and his coaching style. And that's so important. That's something that you got to pick out in a high school kid when they're young. I mean, now they're recruiting these kids as early as the ninth grade, you know, and it's unbelievable that the coaches can have that vision of these kids, you know, what they're going to mature into and how they're going to respond to something. And so, you know, the coaching and just get the quality people, you know, that fit into a program, fit into a lifestyle. Because you leave that high school campus and you walk onto that college campus at 17, 18 years old, there's 40, 50,000 people on that campus. And you're just overwhelmed. I mean, I lived in Stillwater, so I knew about the college lifestyle because I followed my brother into it, but I was still so immature that freshman year, and that's what these coaches nowadays gotta get over. They can't get it. You can't allow them to have an immaturity year. That was so great. What was really good about my year, because freshmen weren't eligible, you got that year to kind of adapt and go around. But now these guys are just thrown right into the big league, man. You know, some of them make it and some of them sink.
What, of course, when I was in high school in Alabama, they didn't even offer wrestling in the South. Right. Is, you know, behind the deep South over here. Right. Yeah. What is it going to take for the South to start getting better in wrestling? Is it just time?
Athletic directors with wrestling backgrounds.
We'll put an emphasis on it.
Yeah, the very few athletic directors have wrestling backgrounds.
Yeah,
the ones that do, they're all at wrestling schools. They need to get out and get to some of these non-wrestling schools and talk to the administrators, talk to the board of regents, talk to the president, and tell them the Bob Bolsey, you know, the commissioner of the Big 12 just a few years ago for long, and I was so successful with the Big, he had a high school wrestling background. He had college wrestling. So he was a proponent of wrestling. That's the reason the Big 12 grew so great, because kind of his leadership. But we need guys like that have a wrestling backgrounds in the administrative position, not just a coaching position, but that upper echelon, you know, and have get that wrestling friendly. And I hate to say it, but I think that's where we really fell with some of our wrestling coaches. They're great coaches, mind you. They're great coaches, but they're not great administrators where they're communicated, where they can get out and talk to the board of regents, where they can get out and talk to the presidents of the universities and the big boosters and everything like that. You need some of these charismatic wrestlers that they have, you know, jumping over to the administrative side of college wrestling. I think that'll help college wrestling grow. Plus, you just need a donor that'll come along and say, hey, here's, you know, $4 or $5 million or whatever it takes nowadays to start up a startup program. And they got that down in Little Rock, Arkansas, and then Coach Erickson down there is building a heck of a team down there. So, you know, it takes administration willing to sacrifice a few bucks for a few years. Nowadays, with that Title IX and all that stuff, with the equality, you know, you and girls wrestling. My old friend, teammate John or Jay Robinson, told me that women's wrestling will be the savior of men's wrestling in college.
Really?
There's so many colleges now starting D1 women's wrestling programs. And the more they do, you know, then if you have a women's program, you got to start a men's program. So a lot of these schools are starting men and women's program at the same time now on a lesser level than the D1. So, but usually what happens, it'll filter into the D1s also.
Have you seen any change in the landscape of amateur wrestling with name, image, likeness yet? Has it creeped over there yet?
Oh yeah, big time. I mean, you know, schools like Iowa and Penn State and some of these other schools, you know, even OU, they have an awful lot of it. Oklahoma State really doesn't have what you expect a powerhouse at to take, because let's face it, Oklahoma is a small state, you know. And Arizona, they got a great NIL program out there, with Tropicana, you know, Art Moratori that started Tropicana Juices out in Arizona. He's a big ASU, and he was a wrestler, so he's been the Sun-Kissed Kids out there. Has always been a famous kid wrestling program for decades and decades because of Art's leadership and money.
Coach Rosie had a follow-up. Coach, we'll get you back in the spotlight, brother.
Yep. Proud ASU alum, class of 97. But here's my second question, Mr. Briscoe. I don't like to teach my students bullshit. Can you tell me something that might not be taught in school, maybe a Native American battle or something that the kids have never been taught in school that I can take to the classroom and teach them so they can learn some real stuff, real history that's meaningful and that's that really made a difference?
I certainly can. And over my bookshelf over there, there's a book, I think it's 1491, you know, 1492, you know, is what happened in 1491 also, the mm-hmm. lead up to 1492, you know, and it talks about the Native Americans. This gets a little graphic, so I don't know, you know, how for your
well, I'm a high school teacher, but I'll read the book and clean it all up.
But there's a story in there about, you know, people talk about the Redskins, you know, the Washington Redskins. Was that offensive? Most people, you'd hear the word, oh, no, it's not offensive. But do you, coach, know where that term came from, where it was first used originally?
No, I don't.
Okay, there was a bounty out in Massachusetts or one of the colony states. There was a bounty for Indian scalps. Wow. So, yeah, there was $100 a scalp. For you kill an Indian, get their scalp, you turn in the scalp, you get $100. Back in those days, that was, you know, that was enough to buy property and all that stuff. So these two reporters are walking down the street, and I forgot what little village it was, but they had a stack of dead bodies, and they were bleeding down because, you know, when you know yourself, when you get busted in the head, that bleeds probably more than any other spot, you know. So that when they cut them, you know, they stack, just threw the bodies on stack on top of each other. These two reporters walking by, and all these Indians have been scalped. The blood was trickling down their bodies, and they were all making them red. And he looked over there, looking wow. a bunch of Redskins. And the guy wrote that down. That the first mention in a United States newspaper, Redskins. And then the term just started growing and growing, growing from that newspaper article, one newspaper article. So does that term offend me? Yes, it does, if you know the real connotation of that term. So well, there's, you just taught me something. There's your history yep. lesson right there.
Well, I'm definitely going to get 1491 because yeah. that's an enthralling story. The kids would love to hear that. Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome.
You think, what's your thoughts on the other mascots? The Chiefs, the Braves, the Indians, of course, have changed, but the Chiefs and the Braves are still hanging in there and not wanting to change. What's your thoughts on them?
Well, I was up in Ohio this weekend for a signing up there over in Chillicothe, Ohio. And, I was talking to there was a guy there with a Cleveland T-shirt on it. He still had the Indian on there. And he asked me, does this offend you? I said, that didn't offend me. But what offended me was the character of the Indian, the character, the drawing of Chief Nakahoma or whatever the guy was. That was offensive to me. That, you know, the Chippy was a big buck teeth and a big old gone cheeks. I know it was a character, but, yeah, the term Indian, just like down here, the Seminoles, Florida State, that doesn't bother me. The Ute out in Arizona, that's honoring a tribe. That didn't picking out something. The Chiefs, that really doesn't bother me because it's picking out something like that. When the Seminoles and the Utes have given their blessing to it, of course, they're making bucket loads of money off of it, too. But the Seminoles don't need it with all the hard rock gambling they got down there in the state of Florida.
Woo! Those Seminoles! Woo!
There you go. I knew I'd wake somebody up there. But, yeah, the general name do not bother me. It was, you know, the same with the Braves, Chief Wapaho or whatever his name. That bothered me, stuff like that, you know. But, you know, we're human beings, so we have feelings. And then, you know, but, you know, when you overreacted, Briscoe, that was 100 years ago. Yeah, but it's still, you know, just like the term Redskin. Dig deep and find out where it came from. Then you understand, you know, my feelings towards it.
Thanks for sharing that with us. Let's keep it going. Speaking of the loud Seminole fan, here we go.
I love it.
Dirty Dave and HSV, Thunder Rosa Fan Club. You're in the spotlight, brother.
All right, my question. I'm from Tampa, so of course I remember Briscoe Brothers Body Shop. What kind of uptick in service and calls and sales did you see after you got the free plug on pay-per-view during Over the Edge back in 1998.
Somebody sent me a picture that they always crack up. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, here's a major company with major pay-per-views, and every one of those junk cars had Briscoe Brothers Body Shop painted on it. Excuse me. My sinuses are going crazy. I loved it, but I tell you what, my office manager, they could always tell when I was on TV. Because, you know, where that 8783-879-4421 telephone number, the body shop. That was a legit telephone number. So then next morning, especially if I'd done something dastardly or stupid, which we're usually doing something stupid, not so much dastardly, that phone would start ringing as soon as we unlocked the doors at the body shop. It wouldn't be customers. It'd be fans just, you know, calling from all over the country, you know. Well, there we are, blah, 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 you know. And I'd come in my office, man. Well, I could tell you were on TV last night. Wow, well, we got 355 calls. You know? So sometimes it was a pain in the ass, but, you know, it was, I loved it. The New York Yankees, as you know, just trained right down the street from where the body shop is, yeah. You know, at Cy Brandner Field. We used to have people before the game, the Yankee game, you know, people come down from the north, come to the body shop and identify that, hey, Briscoe's here. And Jack and I, one of us was always there just for that purpose to meet the fans and the customers. And so they would come in. We're getting ready to go to the Yankee game. We're from up north here. We looked up Briscoe Brothers Body Shop and saw it was right by the stadium. We'd have people out in the street take a picture to the body men. They'd laugh their asses. Oh, you know. But it was fun. It was so much fun getting that publicity. Vince came up with the phrase "worth the drive." So it was cool. It was really cool, you know, having that. And I'm forever appreciative to it. You know, our business was always solid, as you know, but it just really kind of gave us that national brand type deal. I really think if we'd been bright enough and had the funds, we probably could have franchised a few of them during that time.
should have had that written into your contract.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I appreciate the question.
Yeah, thanks for taking it.
And go Noles. How we gonna do next year?
They're gonna get to the playoffs now. No more getting left out.
Well, hell, there's 12 teams. They better get to the playoffs.
getting left out.
I have a ball. Ron Simmons and I, and usually JBL, we get on a group text. And man, Ron's a football fan, just true to the Seminoles. And
so every time I go to StarCast and see him, he and I sit and talk for about an hour about Florida State football.
Yeah, you can tell he's nearly crying when they're doing bad, you know, like that playoff game this year. And I felt, John and I, what can you say? I mean, they're getting their asses off, you know. Well, they're getting some good experience. You know, the young guys are going to, hell, they're getting their asses kicked. You don't want to hear that. And another thing funny story about Ron Simmons, what we're talking about, Ron. I'm sitting in New Jersey or somewhere, Philly, somewhere with Ron. He don't have his telephones on the charger, so he don't have his one. So I'm on there, and Florida State is playing Troy State or something like this a couple of years ago. So I said, "Hey, Ron, great news, man! Scored 14-7, Florida State, man, and they're looking good." And then about 10 minutes, say, "Oh, damn, Ron. And now it's 14-4. Where'd you go there?" 14-14. "Oh, man, what happened?" "Well, you know, they scored a long touchdown there." "Oh, the Florida State getting the ball. They're driving." "Oh, man, interception. Oh, it's a pick six, Ron." And, you know, so now it's, I'm telling Ron it's 21-14 and time's running out. And Ron don't have us involved and all that stuff. So I'm sitting at the airport waiting for the plane. I had no clue what Ron was on the airplane with. So he walked up to me at Briscoe. "That's funny, huh? You think that's funny? I'm telling me Florida State beat my Seminole 21-14. The game hadn't even started yet. It was a 7 o'clock game. But I thought he was going to kick my ass, man. Damn.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Cassio.
Hey, buddy. We're going to get to a couple more questions. I know some of them's about Waterloo, so we'll get to that. But while we were here, I saw today, of course, or this week, that WWE announced SummerSlam 2024 will be at Cleveland Browns Stadium.
Wow.
Briscoe, what's your thoughts on that? What's your thoughts on Cleveland as a wrestling town?
Oh, man, I love Cleveland as a wrestling town. I remember when I was with Georgia Championship Wrestling, we'd run that old city auditorium down there. The tradition there in Cleveland's tremendous, and Cleveland's a great wrestling town. I know when we moved over to the arenas over there, it was fantastic. And plus, WrestleMania has a little history there too, you know, with the Richfield Coliseum right outside of there when they had that old Coliseum there, and so it has a lot of history, and you know, who knows will be involved, but Cleveland's a great spot for it, and hopefully the weather will be good. You know, that when you're on that river or that lake there in Cleveland, Ohio, any time of the year. You know, those storms can be brutal there, so I wish them best. So they always seem to have a switch to that little weather gods up there, you know, when they do these shows.
Also today, of course, March 12th, it would have been Mae Young's birthday, Mr. Briscoe. I know you've had a long history with her. First, tell us about the first time you met Mae Young.
First time I met Mae Young was actually, I was just, I don't know if I was still in college or out of college, but she was, of course, wrestling around Oklahoma. She's Oklahoma legend. She's the first girl to ever play men's football in the state of Oklahoma, and everybody knows wow. football's tough out there. She led her to football, men's football and men's wrestling, you know, as a woman. And she's a legend at Sand Springs High School in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. So May had got into the business, and back in those days, the women kind of traveled in a group there, you know, before them come along and be there for a week or two. Her group come through Oklahoma. Leroy's always booked her because she's an Oak, and Leroy liked her and always took care of the ladies there. So, you know, I met her early. Then, of course, I met her down in Florida and through the territories of Georgia and Carolina. And then, you know, always friendly with her. Then I was always just thrilled to death every time I'd see her in the WWE. And, yeah, she made me throw up. Mr. Handy, Mark Henry's son, Handy.
Yes, Handy. You had a hand in her success. Yeah. Somebody said over in the chat. That's great. Brian, you wanted to mention Waterloo. We, of course, are going to get to that. Of course, Brian's a pro at Waterloo. I got to enjoy Waterloo for my first time this past year. And what an experience that was. I know a lot of top guys, top gals going to make their way out there this year. And I would suggest anybody go. It is just an awesome experience, not just the ceremony, but the entire weekend, tour the museum, see all the history that is. If you are a wrestling fan and have not been, you're doing yourself a disservice. So go see all that history there. It is incredible. So, Brian, we're going to get you back in. I know you wanted to bring that up and ask something about that.
I did. I was saying, I'll echo Cassio. It's one of the funnest weekends of the year for me. I look forward to it every year. I know, Mr. Briscoe, you're a big part of that out there in Waterloo. So I just want to ask you, what is your favorite part about going out there, and what do you enjoy most about the whole weekend?
Well, I tell you, the day it gets overlooked a lot, and a day that's growing like crazy, is a Thursday night when we all first get there. It's the night Dan Gable's there, and Dan Gable... People say Dan Gable, you know, he's one of the purest wrestling guys. Anybody that's been around Dan Gable knows he's a pro wrestling fan. I mean, yes, you know, Dan, every year we're there, he amazes me with his knowledge. He amazes me with his friendship and how he uses it. And now, you know, he's seeing what we've done there, and he's seeing what the pro wrestling lifestyle, our promotional style. And I don't know if you listened to his speech last year. It was compared pro wrestling to amateur wrestling. The reason pro wrestling kicking amateur wrestling butt is because of promotion. And he's sitting there with 600 people in his museum there, you know, and cheering him on. And he's seeing what we're doing with promotion and building that museum and building that wing like we're building. But he appreciates the art that we provide to the people. He appreciates the outlet. Now we're providing not only for men, but for women. He's a big proponent of women's wrestling too. But he sees how we've grown from high school gyms and armories and stuff like that, and the low attendance, just like amateur wrestling has, to now these mega arenas and football stadiums we were talking about earlier with the Cleveland Browns, you know, and just the phenomenal growth of the attendance and everything. And now he's comparing, and he's not only telling he's preaching to the choir when he's talking there at our event, but now he's taking that same message to all the people out all the college coaches and administrators out in the U.S. They're hearing that, and now they're starting to progress a little bit more in their promotion. So That Thursday night, when you get a chance to interact with Coach Dan Gable, one American icon, I mean, you know, and him shaking your hand and smiling and legitimately feeling thank you for being here, it's a great feeling. That's one of my favorite nights of that Thursday night.
That's one of the things I always look forward to as well. I know last year I'd spent a lot of time talking to Coach Gable, even though he was trying to leave to go to his grandson's baseball games. Yeah. He just kept sticking around to talk to everybody that he could. And I always think that's
cool. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing, a man like him?
Yeah. And he tries to interact with everyone, which I think is the coolest part, is he tries to go up and at least say hi, shake hands, and talk to everybody that even comes in the door, whether it's the Hall of Famers or just guests like me. I think that's always the coolest part there as well.
Thank you.
So yeah, no, I was I just want to kind of echo Cassio too. You know, if you can get out there, I recommend it as well. It's a great weekend, a ton of fun, and I look forward to seeing both of you guys there this year.
And we got some top guys out there. We got Arn Anderson out there. We got Tony Schiavone out there. Holy cow, man! We got a star-studded card and more to come, as they say.
Absolutely, I look forward to it. It's going to be a ton of fun this year.
Thank you.
Thanks Brian. Guys. Appreciate that, man. So people are asking in the chat, Mr. Briscoe, if they're the first time there, where should they stay? Where should they look? What should they do? What should they expect coming to that weekend?
Can you help me out on that? Because I should have had all that information written down, but I was so excited about it. But, yeah, you can go to TNTHallOfFame.com, I believe, our website, or go to National Wrestling Hall of Fame. But what is it? Is it still the Best Western that everybody was saying that?
I believe so. Maybe.
It's the Best Western. They okay. have
it's right. Still, it's yeah. right across the street from the arena, and just two or three blocks from the Dan Gable Museum. Everything is walkable. That's what's so great about the event. Everything is walkable. You're within three or four blocks of everything. Good, great food, great restaurants, and great entertainment. And you know, we on Thursday night after we have our little meet and greet with Coach Gable and everybody that comes in, our lifetime members, you can get a lifetime membership if you go and follow us on Twitter, TNA, TNT, TNT, there you give TNA, TNT Hall of Fame on Twitter, and we got .com there. Or like I said, National Wrestling Hall of Fame .com or .org, whatever it is.
Yep.
You can get on there, get there, and find all the information you need. But we got a great staff here, Coach Miller and Rebecca Roper there, a tremendous office manager that really spearheads the Hall of Fame weekend, along with Troy and Chad there, and Gloria Jane Beer now on our board there. So we got a great staff that's dedicated to giving you great entertainment. We got so much. But what's great, we got you guys involved there that's coming here, too.
Going to be exciting, as, of course, is July 18th through the 20th. And this is the 25th annual, so this is a big
25,
one.
Yeah, that's 25. I've been on board now. I got inducted back in 2015 or something like that, and I took over. Oh no! It was before that, 2007. I can't remember when I was inducted, but anyway, I was inducted, and I took over. They had an administrative change there, and Leroy Smith, who's the executive chairman of the museum in Stillwater, who is a parent of the Dan Gable Museum, they took it over about 10, 12 years ago, and Leroy called me, and he. Everybody was worried that was a one-day event at the time. It was losing money as a one-day event, and they didn't know. So Leroy called me. He said, I want to lose that weight. He said, would you come on board and help me? I said, Leroy, as long as I got your word that we're not going anywhere, you know, that we're there to stay. And he said, you build it up and you ain't going anywhere. So he gave me my word that I would work my butt off to get it built up. He gave me his word that the Pro Wrestling Wing wasn't going to go away from that museum. He's kept his word. He supported us, the whole organization from Stillwater up to Waterloo has been very supportive. And now they're seeing what an asset professional wrestling is in that Hall of Fame, which really makes me feel good about it. And it's because of people like you.
It was so neat to go and see not only Mr. Gable, but everyone there was accessible and welcoming and just having a fun time and respecting, this art of pro wrestling that we all love. We got to go to that museum. Graciously, I was riding the coattails of Billionaire Connie. So we got all that behind the scenes tour. And
you got the basement tour.
Yeah. The basement tour was incredible. There's so much history there and not enough space. Hopefully we can get that rocking and rolling, but there's so much history there. And you just walk in as a wrestling fan and you're in awe from the second you walk through those doors, and just the fun stuff. We got another question this time. Chris North is in the spotlight with Mr. Briscoe. How are you, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for taking the question. So you keep talking about Gable. We talked about Kale Sanderson earlier. I wore his shoes in high school, but unbiased opinion here, sir. Greatest college coach of all time. Is it actually Gable, or is it John Smith, or is it Sanderson?
Ooh, well, it's too early to say Sanderson, but man, he's nipping at the butt of whoever is number one. But, you know, if you go, it was just sheer numbers, you know, you got to go with Art Griffin. I mean, 27 national championships he won at Oklahoma State or something like that before he retired. And, you know, or Gallagher Hall named after him, you know, those old timers. But, man, if you go to modern day history, John's won 5 as a coach, you know, and Gable won, what, 12 as a coach, something like that, 10, 12 as a coach. He won 10 in a row, I know that. So, yeah, I think he won 12 overall. So, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, Coach Gable probably got the edge just on numbers, but I'll go back to history where Oklahoma State, you know, blew them all away, you know, Griffin and Gallagher. So, you know, it's decade, that which decade you want. That modern decade's got to be Coach Gable. But, you know, Kel Sanderson, let me just add a little. He was Iowa State guy. I was one Gable. Both of them left their own schools to go to competing schools and make them successful there. So, really, I mean, come on, you're going to leave your alma mater to go to another school. Iowa State, and you're going to go to Iowa State. But that's like Oklahoma State guy going to Oklahoma, you know. So, but Kel was coached by Coach Bobby Douglas, who is an Oklahoma State guy, by the way. He wrestled with my brother Jack at Oklahoma State, and they won the national championship in 1965 as a team. Bobby was injured that year. He was favored number one. It ranked number one and seeded number one in a tournament and got a concussion the first round as he was beating the guy. They drove him for a takedown. Bobby wasn't going to. They crashed heads, and Bobby collapsed, and Bobby was taken off in an ambulance and couldn't compete. They wouldn't clear him, even back in those days, to compete. And we lost the tournament that year by 0.5 point to Iowa State. But Bobby ended up coaching Kel Sanderson, recruiting Kel Sanderson. I remember him telling me the story about the recruiting process at Kel. Bobby has so many great recruiting stories. He recruited at Arizona State Dan Severn and Don Fry, and I've heard their versions of it. And I mean, Bobby was a hell of a recruiter, obviously. You know, sleeping on Severn's couch because he wasn't going to lose Severn's brother or him. And, you know, going out to the farm where Don Fry lived out on Ridge, riding horses and all that stuff, you know. So Bobby did anything to land a recruit. But he coached Kel. He told me Kel was the most dedicated person he'd ever been around in his life. And for Bobby to say that, because Bobby's that guy, too. So they were two of the kind. It's easy to see why Kel was so successful, because he lived and breathed and worshiped Bobby Douglas.
Chris, who'd you wrestle for? Who's your vote?
I did not wrestle in college because my coach tried to send me to a D3 all-male school 20 minutes from my house. So I was a 5'8", 171 pounder, so I knew they'd make me cut like 30 pounds, and that was...
Okay, as a fan, who do you think? Purdue Boilermakers. All right, who's coach here now?
Tony Ursland. But okay. when I was going to their camps, Tom Erickson was one of the coaches.
Oh yeah,
and he was one of the scariest men I've ever met in my life. I was like 16 years old, and I told him he had bad form on a bar curl, and he gave me the dirtiest look I'd ever seen. he was arching his back and just throwing it up like, yeah. Tom Erickson, Big Cat Erickson, was scary.
So if you had to pick a coach, or just okay, did you don't pick one? Give me your Mount Rushmore college coaches.
Oh.
I mean, so being a Big Ten guy, I mean, obviously Gable, Sanderson. Who was the Minnesota coach when Brock was there? I can't
remember. Jay Robinson, my teammate, Jay Robinson. Which Oklahoma State guy.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so I would say, like I said, Gable and Sanderson now, and Smith because I wore shoes, and then Robinson or where was Chertow at? Because that was always the big thing when I was a kid, was getting Chertow camps.
Oh yeah, he was out of Pennsylvania, wasn't he?
Yeah, was he Penn State back then or?
Yeah, but it was much smaller college.
Okay.
And then, yeah, that was then Penn State. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
But yeah, he was a heck of a coach too.
I can't believe I can't remember.
You know, there's so many of them. You know, you're bringing up those guys. You know, the Big Ten. I mean, Big Ten was loaded to them. You know, Cliff Keen. You know, back in the old school days. You know, the headgears and equipment's named after. You know, he was a stud coach. You know, there were so many. Fort Robinson from OU. You know, started that program dynasty. Dr. Harold Nichols that coached Gable, at Iowa State. Dr. Nichols had won, the national title too. And so you got to throw him in somewhere. I mean, you go back to the guy out Oregon State that was a great coach out there. So they're everywhere, you know. And then the Colorado coach. And now Mark Manning there in Nebraska, you know, where's our Nebraska guy here? Coach Manning there. He's a stud coach, man. He's a great coach. And there's a lot of young ones there, you know, out there now, too, that I'm really happy to see. Coleman Scott, that just got named assistant coach at OU, he gave up the head coaching job at North Carolina University to go be John Smith's assistant coach. You know, he's a Cowboy going back. But I believe, you know, John's got a son that, coming up. Sam Smith is coming up now. He's a true freshman this year. And probably took a redshirt year because they only wrestled one match, and that was a forfeit match. So I think he'll still have 4 years. I don't see John walking away from Oklahoma State until Sam gets out of school. So hopefully, that's my hope. Because they got a bunch of young kids now, and I think they're right on the verge of coming back to national prominence. We've been down for a few years, and John ain't going to stay down forever. That's my thoughts, and I'm singing to them.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Thank you. Always a pleasure. That's what's great about you. You guys are so versatile, man. I come on there and talk college football, college wrestling, pro football, anything we want to talk, man.
We got Mount Rushmore coaches and Mae Young's hand. We hit it all tonight. Before we get out of here, first, just want to say thank you. But how can they support you? One, they can, of course, get tickets to the Hall of Fame weekend, but how else can they support you and everything you've got going on right now?
Podcast Stuart Briscoe and Bradshaw, we have a ball doing that. I mean, it's so much fun. You know, the guests we have on, they're not just guests, they're friends, you know, and we're not just a friend, we're fans of these guys too. And you can see that in John and I's conversation. When we just had Ronnie Garvin on here recently. Ronnie, he didn't get to get talked too much, and Ronnie's one of those forgotten guys a lot of times, man, that just has so much history. The story he told about my brother won a national title in March of 65. In early May of 65, he was wrestling Ronnie Garvin on TV in his first pro match. That's how, these guys now, they go 2-3 years of these training schools trying to do it. My brother had 6 weeks training, and they were throwing him on TV against Ronnie Garvin. But it was the right guy to throw. And Ronnie busted his eye open, Jack's first match. So Jack was a hero when he was back to college course back in the 65, pro wrestling, all this and pro wrestling that. So Jack walks back for that busted open eye and a big shot. Hey, guys, I thought you said that stuff was phony. Look at me here now. So Jack was a good message right off the bat, thanks to Ronnie Garvin. And then the first time Ronnie sees Jack about 5 years later, Jack's a big star down here in Florida, and they get booked together Ronnie's first night in there. And Ronnie said they were doing a move, and Jack went down, and his head hit Ronnie's knee. He busted it open on the other side. So Jack busted open the first two times he's in the ring with him. Ronnie tells that story, and it's hilarious.
some of us got to see Mr. Garvin over the pay-per-view that was in Tampa a few weeks ago, the Rumble. Matter of fact, I talked some crap about him, and he punched me in the face. So he still got hands of stone, I figured out.
Yeah, he does. They don't mess with Ronnie, man.
Did you ever fly with him?
You know, I refused to fly with him because I'll tell you right when he started flying, we're in Georgia, and me and Don Morocco, we were going down to Savannah or Macon or somewhere. We're on the damn interstate. And all of a sudden, we see it. And I got a little blue. The reason he was able to pick up my car, I got a little blue Mercedes. Morocco, I'd leave. He'd fly with Jimmy or a couple other guys. They come down on Interstate 20, whatever, and buzz us, man. And right then, I said, I'll never get an airplane with that crazy son of a bitch. I know how crazy Ronnie was, you know. So, no, I never got in a plane. But he never had a crash, man. He was one of the safest guys. He had a safety record impeccable, you know.
But the funny part is everybody I've asked that since I met him, everybody said, hell no, I wouldn't fly with him. Well, Mr. Briscoe, thank you for your time, man. I know it's past your bedtime, like you told us. So you stayed up, you answered, you gave us great answers, and we appreciate it.
Man, I appreciate being on here. You know, tune us in, Briscoe, stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw. Bradshaw gives me so much grief about being an Okie, and I return the favor for him being a damn Texan, you know, and a damn upside-down Longhorn guy. So we have fun, you know. We're just out there just to entertain. And follow me on Twitter, and I'm on all that stuff out there. I can't believe I'm 77, almost 78 years old. Man, I got Twitter, I've got TikTok, which they're thinking about outlawing. TikTok. I'm just now figuring out how to use the damn thing.
That's why they're going to outlaw it, because you're on there.
Yeah, and I'm just figuring out how to use it. So, you know, so.
What about shirts? Yeah. They need to get a shirt. You're hanging on by a thread now. We know that.
Do what?
They need to get shirts. Where can they get merch?
I don't know. I guess, what is it, pro wrestling tees or something like that?
You don't even know.
No. But they were out there. I saw somebody wear ones earlier, man. I think it's pro wrestling tees or something like that. All right, who knows? Bruce Prichard probably got them in that damn gimmick box, sell them, and not tell me about the damn thing, keeping the damn money.
That's probably it.
Admiral Prichard, you can't trust him at all. You know that. You guys know that, man. You're around that damn guy. You guys got some shady characters up there, man. And Dave Silva, man, holy cow, Superman, Stud Muffin, I call him, man, JBL called him, man. That guy can do anything, but don't trust him, man. He's a Texan.
That's a fact. That is a fact. Thank you, Briscoe. Thank you, everybody, for joining us and asking questions, making this another fun one here. Mr. Briscoe has been gracious for his time and went over a little bit, so we appreciate that. Thanks, everybody, for being part of the Ad Free Shows family. Mr. Gerald Briscoe, I'm Cassio. Enjoy the rest of your evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us.